Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We're talking some Packers football. It's summertime. It's the week of the NFL's Rookie Symposium. Going to talk about that a little bit. Then we got an interesting topic today. Can't forget it. One of the biggest moments of all last season. I don't know if I can call it a high. I was going to call it a high. One of the highlights of last season. I don't know if it's a highlight, but the Ndamukong Suh stomp of Evan Dietrich Smith. What do we call that? Just a memorable moment. Not necessarily a highlight. Not sure how to categorize it. But thank you for joining us on the show today. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments will show up on our live blog. Feel free to use the handy-dandy Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, or just feel free to comment away like Kevin Lamb on our live blog checking in. So here we are on a Monday, June 25th, week of the NFL's Rookie Symposium, without, you know, whole lot else going on in the rest of the NFL here in late June. That's the biggest event on the NFL calendar this week. Well, that, and we're kind of still waiting on NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's ruling on the appeals for Bounty Gate. That'll probably be coming sometime. I would expect it today even. But who knows? No guarantees. But regardless, Rookie Symposium going on. Kind of different this year from what I've gathered. I think how it works is all the NFC rookies are attending the Rookie Symposium in Aurora, Ohio. I think the reason they choose Aurora, Ohio, out of all places, not exactly this big destination that anybody would think of that the NFL might be holding this event, but I think it's due to its proximity to the NFL Hall of Fame, because I know they go there, which of course is in Canton, Ohio. That's from what I gather. But so they're breaking it up. The NFC rookies are there from Sunday. So as of yesterday, Sunday through Wednesday, through 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday. And then the AFC rookies are there from Thursday to Sunday, I think. Something like that. Maybe there's that day of overlap. Maybe it begins Wednesday again for the AFC. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, 4 day event broken up AFC, NFC, and it's only draft choices that go there. Only drafted players. So not every rookie technically goes. The undrafted players, the guys who just signed with the Packers or any team for that matter after the draft, do not go there. At least they haven't in the past, and I haven't seen any indication that that has changed over the years. So all the Packers draft choices, there's how many? Eight of them this year heading to Ohio. Well, they're already in Ohio, learning the nuances of the NFL. It's to acclimate them to life as a professional football player. Not a whole lot of X's and O's going on over there, unless the players are doing that on their own. I mean, I'm sure just in general conversation, those kind of things maybe happen, but it's more about orientation, kind of, for the most part. It's about living the lifestyle of a professional football player, managing your finances, how to deal with hangers-on, with people who are going to come after your money as a professional football player, how to deal with you know, the people who want to be part of your entourage, as it were. But, you know, other things in general, though, they don't just get into that solely. But, you know, conducting yourself, the NFL obviously wants these players to portray the league in a positive light, things like that. You know, just how to live the lifestyle of a pro football player. How do you balance, you know, work time and play time, free time, and, you know, things like that. So, that's what's going on. Nick Perry, Jarrell Worthy, Casey Hayward and company, all there right now in Ohio, dealing with those kind of things. Former Packers wide receiver Antonio Freeman is a group facilitator in Ohio this week at the Rookie Symposium. I'm not exactly sure what that all entails. There's an article at the Packers official website who interviewed Freeman about what he does. And I you know, from what I gather, again, I think it's kind of a thing where he's kind of a small group facilitator. They probably break these rookies up somehow. And he just kind of, you know, probably engages them in discussion, probably helps them get from place to place, answer their questions, stuff like that. But it's kind of nice. And you know, Antonio Freeman isn't the only former NFL player. There's a bunch of them who are acting in the same capacity. And that's kind of cool to get some NFL legends like Antonio Freeman to do something like that, to help out the NFL in that regard. So kind of cool that he's doing that. So that's what's going on. I guess tomorrow all the rookies take part in an NFL Play 60 event. I don't know how to describe it. Apparently, I think it's at the Cleveland Browns facility tomorrow morning. They probably have some kids come in and they play football with them, or, you know, just kind of do active game stuff, keeping the kids active. So that's happening tomorrow. And then so they wrap up on Wednesday with the Rookie Symposium. Then the AFC rookies come in. So a couple days this week, be chatter about that. One of the few things going on with the NFL. But for the majority of the episode today, I guess what I wanted to talk about is an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today from reporter Lori Nickel. And it's in this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, the bottom right-hand corner, there's a, you know, like our most recent articles published on Cheesehead TV, and you can find this morning's Packers Daily Links. And the top story today has to do with that article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Evan Dietrich Smith and kind of the notoriety he's gained from being the victim, the subject, I guess, the target of Ndamukong Suh and the stomp. Like I said, a very memorable moment from last season took place on Thanksgiving Day in Detroit. As you know, Thanksgiving days are some of the biggest watched football games of the entire year. It's a day when most of the nation has off from work, big holiday, and it's nationally televised. There's only three games that are televised the whole day. Of course, always a game in Detroit, always a game in Dallas. And so it kind of, Lori Nickel asked Evan Dietrich Smith to reflect on that. And of course, I mean, this is Evan Dietrich Smith's claim to fame. Not exactly, it's how the general casual football fan knows him, if they know him at all. Evan Dietrich Smith came into that game as an injury replacement. I think who got injured that game? Was it was it one of those cases where TJ Lang came out of the game or he had to go over to right tackle? Was that it? Because Brian Bulaga was hurt, so Lang shifted over to right tackle, and then Dietrich Smith filled in at left guard. That may have been how it went down, but Evan Dietrich Smith, normally a backup offensive lineman with the Packers, fills in for the Thanksgiving Day game, and lines up across from Ndamukong Suh, gets tangled up with him, and Sue loses his cool. First of all, grabs Dietrich Smith's head, bangs it into the turf, and then as he gets up, stomps on Dietrich Smith. And Jamie Jors here on the live blog recalling the immediate aftermath of the game. Remember when the news reports just listed him as an offensive lineman? Yeah, kind of in the immediate aftermath of the game. Reports just kind of saying that Sue stomped on a Packers offensive lineman, not even acknowledging Dietrich Smith's name. But as everyone saw, and everyone at least would later find out if they paid attention, Dietrich Smith was the target, the subject, the victim. And Ndamukong Suh also in the immediate aftermath kind of denying that it was intentional, that he was just trying to disengage himself, but kind of fell on deaf ears. I mean, it was rather ridiculous how it all happened, and it looks very intentional, and I don't think there's very many people out there that believed him at all, Sue at least. And so he ends up getting kicked out of the game. Ends up getting suspended by the NFL, and it kind of was a culmination of other events in which Sue has been cited for unnecessary roughness, late hit, things like that. Oh, and here we go. There's the picture on our live blog right now. Who can forget that? Right there's being pulled away. Who is that pulled Sue away from him, or tried to at least? I forget who that was. Is that sitting there? I forget, but anyhow, so a big event. The Packers go on to win the game. It was, kept their undefeated season alive. The Packers were certainly getting a lot of attention at the time as they were undefeated. Unfortunately, the season would ended not the way the fans wanted it to, obviously, but a memorable moment. Anyhow, so that's the background information. I'm kind of getting long-winded here today, but I suppose in the off-season there's reason to do so, to kind of give a lot of background information, set the story up. But in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Smith comments on the whole ordeal that happened, kind of reflects on it, and it says more or less he doesn't want to be remembered for that. And here's the quote, exact word for word, that he told Lori Nichol from Evan Dietrich Smith here. It says, quote, "I'm not here to be that guy Sue stomped on. It just happened to be on national TV, but I can't really do anything about that. I don't want to be that guy. I'm out to prove I'm not just that guy. I'm the guy that plays for the Packers." And, obviously, everybody, I think, can sympathize with Evan Dietrich Smith in that that's not how he wants to be remembered. He'd rather be remembered for his play. I don't think he really is going to have that choice. I think from a general standpoint, he'll kind of always be remembered as the guy that Ndamukong Suh stepped on. Regardless, I can sympathize with them. And, I think this can kind of seg in here to a larger discussion of where Evan Dietrich Smith fits into the Packers' plans in the future, in 2012 and perhaps beyond. Evan Dietrich Smith went on in the article to talk about how he kind of views himself as a swing interior offensive lineman. That's how he's practicing. He focuses on doing those kind of things. And that kind of is, in my opinion, his biggest asset, his biggest value to the Packers, that he can play both center and guard. And because he can do that, he's always a good chance to be, about, you know, one of those seven offensive linemen active during NFL game days. Of course, the roster is limited to, the roster size is 53, but what is it? Only 45 are active on game, or is it 46 now? Active on game days. So the Packers typically usually only keep seven offensive linemen total active on game days. That's not that many. Certainly very different from college football, in which, you know, there's 100 people sometimes on the sidelines and, you know, can just roll anybody in they want. But you don't always have that luxury in the NFL, and you rarely do in the preseason. You do, that's about it. When it comes to the regular season, you got two backups, and sometimes the Packers have kept eight offensive linemen active, usually, at least under Mike McCarthy, they keep seven. And so last year, Evan Dietrich Smith was always, did he play in all 16 games, I think, or he was at least active for all 16 games, because he could back up both center and guard. And, I always think it's so overrated when they talk about players playing musical chairs on the offensive line. And I suppose you can kind of talk about that a little bit amongst the starters. You don't want the starters moving around from position to position. But, I mean, with only seven offensive linemen active and five positions on the offensive line, almost everybody has to have some flexibility to play another position. You got to practice there somewhat, at least, at another spot. It's just necessary. It's a necessary evil, mandatory, because they got to do it. And Dietrich Smith did a very good job last year. Ended up seeing most of his playing time at guard because of injuries. But also was the backup center. Scott Wells, of course, last year was very durable, had a Pro Bowl season, but he's now gone. Jeff Saturday comes in, but Evan Dietrich Smith, until further notice, will remain the backup center and the backup guard. And you always need somebody who's primarily a center, who can do a good job snapping the football. Sometimes what tends to happen is maybe your best backup offensive linemen are your tackles. At least that's the case with the Packers. If you were to rank all the offensive linemen, just like their value to the team, I would say maybe the Packers' top offensive lineman, their top backup, might be Derek Sherrod, a tackle, a first-round draft choice. But they have to have somebody who, in case the center gets hurt, in case Jeff Saturday gets hurt, they got to have somebody who's going to, be reliable enough to snap that football, is not going to have a fumbled exchange between Aaron Rodgers and himself. And that looks to be Evan Dietrich Smith, and a guy who at the same time is also, versatile enough to know both guard positions, can play all three positions at once. And that's his value to the team. The Packers, have other options at center. They have Samson Genus, a guy who spent the entire last season on the practice squad, was an undrafted rookie. They signed another undrafted rookie this year, Tommy Draheim from San Diego State. In fact, gave him, I believe, the largest signing bonus among all the undrafted rookies this year, to show how much the Packers really think of him, Tommy Draheim. And they'll compete with Evan Dietrich Smith for a spot on the roster, but, I mean, they're They haven't shown it yet. They have an uphill battle to unseat a guy like Evan Dietrich Smith. It's going to take a lot from guys like Dreheim, like Samson Genis, to unseat EDS, for short. People like to call Evan Dietrich Smith EDS for his initials. Makes it easy, seeing as he's got that hyphenated surname. But Evan Dietrich Smith has the advantage and experience. He saw a lot of playing time last season, started several games, not a ton, but I mean, what EDS start 3 games last year, but, you know, started to settle in. It even goes on in that article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk about, I think, in his last start against the Chicago Bears, the entire Packers offensive line didn't give up a sack that day. So a good performance by the offensive line as a whole, including EDS. So, he's got the edge and experience. He's been with the Packers for several seasons. I think he first signed with them in 2009 as an undrafted rookie himself. So he's got the inside track to be, you know, the top backup interior offensive line, the top backup center, all those things. So it would take a lot to beat him out for that job. And certainly, I mean, the Packers aren't going to hand Evan Dietrich Smith a roster spot. But he's going to get first crack at winning that backup role on the team. And you know, it is kind of interesting, too, while we're on the subject, to just talk about how the Packers, you know, prefer their offensive linemen to be, at least when they come out of college, not that they prefer them to be, but tend to draft college left tackles or sign college left tackles and then convert them to other positions in the pros, or at least guys who have experience playing left tackle, because, you know, every college, you know, every team out there, that tends to be your best offensive lineman, your most athletic, the guy who's protecting the quarterback's backside. You know, not to say that's, again, always the case, but in many times it is. And so the Packers, you know, grab these college left tackles and then turn them, or you know, just tackles in general, and then turn them into players at other positions. In college, Evan Dietrich Smith, he played all over the offensive line, played guard, played center, but also did end up playing a little bit of left tackle at Idaho State, actually a member of the FCS football championship subdivision in the NCAA. So coming from a smaller school, but, you know, played left tackle, ends up being an interior offensive lineman with the Packers in the NFL. The guy the Packers signed this year to compete with them, that Tommy Dreheim from San Diego State, apparently played center in high school, but then goes to San Diego State and maybe played a little bit of center there too, but for the most part was their left tackle there at San Diego State. And so he comes in, and the Packers right away, just right off the bat, intend to move him to center to compete for a job there. So it'll be interesting to see how he makes that transition and how that all plays out, and how he performs in training camp, the preseason, etc. But, I mean, look at all these players. I mean, Marshall Newhouse, the Packers' current left tackle, he was a left tackle at TCU. The backup, Derek Sherrod, the first-round draft choice last year, he was a left tackle at Mississippi State. TJ Lang, the starting left guard, was a left tackle at Eastern Michigan in college. Josh Sitton was a right tackle, so not a left, but a right tackle at Central Florida. Brian Bulaga, the Packers' right tackle, he was a left tackle at Iowa. You just go through all these guys, and I mean, they all have, if not left tackle, tackle experience at least. You know, the perimeter of the offensive line. You know, they think those are some of the most athletic guys on the team, And for the most part, it tends to work out that way. They do tend to be that. So anyhow, I mean, it's that was your best article of the day from a Packers perspective when I was putting together this morning's Packers Daily Links, things that kind of happened over the weekend, articles that were published over the weekend. You know, just things tend to die down on the weekend in general with, you know, people not working, journalists not working for the most part. And but that was a story that did come out and kind of interesting to get EDS's thoughts on his notoriety or his fame from the whole Ndamukong Suh stomp situation, story, whatever you want to call it. You know, also being published over the weekend, I think it was actually on Friday afternoon or Friday evening, somebody got, the NFL Network got Brett Favre's thoughts on the whole Bountygate situation, seeing as Favre himself was allegedly targeted as a you know, one of these people who a bounty was put on by the New Orleans Saints. Again, allegedly, there's the whole appeal process going on and probably legal action, a lawsuit to take place after the appeal is ruled upon. Stay tuned for that whole situation. But Brett Favre saying he doesn't care. And of course, I mean, we're just talking about this because Brett Favre is a former Green Bay Packer. He wasn't even a member of the Packer when he was targeted. This was actually, when was it? The 2009 NFC Championship game, or, you know, from the 2009 season, when he was a member of the Vikings, actually. But, you know, just a high-profile guy. And Aaron Rodgers was allegedly targeted as well. So, again, stay tuned. I wouldn't doubt at all today that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell rules on the appeal, and I wouldn't expect anything different to happen than the. Of course, we're paying attention to this because Anthony Hargrove is now a member of the Green Bay Packers, the defensive lineman the Packers signed in free agency this offseason. I wouldn't expect his suspension to be reduced. Who knows? Who knows? Could be wrong. But that's a storyline worth keeping an eye on today that could come across your screens of your computers or across the TV, however you follow your news, whether it's via social media or you're going to watch your coverage on the NFL Network or whatever, SportsCenter, due to break at some point. Whenever Roger Goodell rules on this situation, it's going to be far from resolved. Like we said, there's going to be probably a lawsuit filed by Anthony Hargrove, Jonathan Vilma, Scott Fujita, Will Smith, more than likely, probably seeking an injunction, lifting the suspensions at least until they can be heard in a court of law. It is a messy situation, and I don't know where it goes from here. Honest to goodness, I don't know. So, you know, a lot has been made about the so-called evidence the NFL has made available to the players, and that apparently points to their guiltiness. Is that a word? Guiltiness of being involved with the bounty program. But again, I mean, just stay tuned. This is something that'll probably be played out for weeks, maybe even months yet. As the season nears, who knows when it'll be resolved, but it is a messy situation, and we continue to pay attention, especially because Anthony Hargrove is involved and his status will be impacted by it. So that's your Monday morning episode of Railbird Central here, folks. Stay tuned all week long for coverage of the of Anthony Hargrove, of anything that happens, any news that breaks in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So we'll be back once again Wednesday morning for another episode. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. Thanks for joining us here at CheeseheadTV.com. I leave you with a song today called Ocean Billy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Have a good week. Go Pack Go. See ya.